Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage, Obama's State of the Disunion Address, the eighth year of this misery, and the most recent GOP debate. Now, several have asked for my take, so here goes. Folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The most encouraging part of Obama's speech was the announcement that it is his last one as president. But really. However, with all the shuck and jiving going on in this speech, as in all that have come before it from the president alleged, let us hope he was not shucking and jiving us when he referred to this as his final one. And by the way, do I need to remind you what the expression means? No? You know? Good. I just want to make sure you don't think I'm being racist. It's a great expression. I love it. It's suggestive of its meaning in the expression. You know, aw, shucks, he's jiving or deceiving. Anyway, after he congratulates himself on getting everything he wanted from the spineless gophers, led by that gutless wonder Paul Ryan, he proceeded then to warn us that we should not expect a lame duck presidency from this president. And of course, he names criminal justice reform. So, how about prosecuting criminals? Like Hillary. And maybe even himself for his part in the Benghazi cover-up. Is that a crime? And then he lists some other things he intends to prioritize in his last year of office, helping kids learn how to write computer code. We don't have schools that teach how to write computer code. I looked into this, and I guess it's all the rage right now to introduce computer code writing to children. Well, you know, maybe we ought to begin by teaching them to read and speak English. The literacy rate in the United States has not changed in 10 years. It's still true that, quote, 85% of all juveniles who interface with the juvenile court system are functionally illiterate, and over 70% of inmates in America's prisons cannot read above the fourth grade level, according to BegintoRead.com. And quote, although I did not have time to research this thoroughly, it appears that the United States has not published a revised literacy rate for the United States since 2003. The closest I can find is some information about 14% of Americans that cannot read at all. And an additional 21% who can't read above a fifth grade level. And then 19% of our teens who have no ability to read. And an overall, I think it's something like 29% of Americans only have the most basic reading skills. One article put it this way, quote, 1 in 7 U.S. citizens can't read this headline, end quote. And then here's an article that tells us 32 million Americans are effectively illiterate. Anyway, his next objective? He wants to personalize medical treatments for patients. What in the world does the government have to do with personalizing medical treatments for patients? I mean, isn't that something the medical profession would, well, sort of naturally want to do? I mean, if there's a problem with prescriptions being impersonal, why have I been told all my life don't take prescriptions written for someone else? But it's just like I said, when Obamacare was being bulldozed into our lives, when the government gets control of your health care, well, you're going to need to wait for an act of Congress or an executive order from Der Fuhrer, America's first socialist president, to get something like personalized health care? Can you believe this? Am I living in America? Who is this guy? And then he goes on to other things that he wants to fix, like a broken immigration system. I'm like, yeah, let's start by getting rid of you. Wait a minute. You do understand that guys like Obama are the reason our system is broken. So you might begin by enforcing the laws. And then his next, protecting our kids from gun violence. Really? That's what you want to do? Wow, how neat. Obama wants to protect kids from gun violence. Isn't that an unusual fellow? Surely no president before him cared so much as he does about protecting kids from gun violence. But then Obama came along, and suddenly we need the government to protect our kids from gun violence. I'll tell you what, Obama, you leave me alone, and I'll protect my own child from gun violence. How's that? I don't need you telling me what guns I can own, how many, and so forth. What I need from you is to protect Americans' Second Amendment rights, and that will go farther toward affording the protection my kids need than anything else you might have in mind. In fact, you are attempting to strip Americans of what they need to protect their families from the crazy, radicalized Muslims you're allowing into our country by your failed policies, and then equal pay for equal work. Okay, that's just great. I mean, we hear this all the time. So if I hire a lady and she has to lay out of work for 12 weeks to nurse her new baby, you know, something I totally agree with, by the way, well, then I can just adjust her pay accordingly because, after all, it's equal pay for equal work, right? And if a guy can hustle and get more done in an 8-hour day than a woman can on a certain kind of a job, well, then great. I'll pay her less than I pay the guy who can produce more in less time. If that's what you mean by equal pay for equal work, I'm all in. Paid leave. So the government has to come along now and require employers to give paid leave to employees. You know, whether or not that employee has earned it, whether or not that paid leave even works out for that company's business model, not all businesses work the same way, you know. And get this, whether or not the employee even wants it. Hey, you fascist, mind your own business. If one company offers paid leave as an incentive to attract workers with desirable skills, well, then he'll get the labor and the other guy will constantly be looking for labor and having to depend on what the best employers won't hire anyway, you know, motivating the less than desirable employee to, well, you know, do what he must do to become desirable in the market. Free market works wonders for building character and inducing employers to compete for good workers and also encouraging companies to produce good product. You know, where there is real abuse, by all means, the government is charged with the task of executing wrath upon evildoers. But come on with this nanny state business. We used to have those posters, you know, with Uncle Sam pointing a finger at us saying, Uncle Sam needs you. Well, now it's turned completely around backwards, where it's Uncle Sam saying, you need me. Or you can have a picture of American people pointing to Uncle Sam and saying, we need you. It's disgusting, my friends. I hardly recognize my country anymore. Raising the minimum wage. Great. So we can all pay more for our hamburgers. And if this keeps up, fast food restaurants are going to be out of reach for the families who can no longer afford to use them. And the rest will say, hey, Mabel, we can eat at Red Robin for what we're having to pay here at Mickey D's. So, I mean, he says these are the things that matter to hardworking families. Actually, that's not true. The hardworking families tend to be self-starters, motivated to get ahead, who will apply themselves to develop the skills necessary to get a better job. All of these sorts of programs tend to appeal to another group. Lazy folk, you know, okay? It needed to be said, but it's true. Now, I know there are exceptions. I get that. I know that. But bless God, the day I need the government to get me a raise. Excuse me? I can't believe I'm even having to deal with this sort of nonsense, America. You're better than this. Come on. Then he lays out what he considers are his achievements. Now, that's what he's really saying, folks, in this next passage of his speech. What he considers are the positive results of his leadership to change America. The progress of the last 7 years. Recovery from the worst economic crisis in generations. Fact is, I don't know anyone who claims we have recovered except those that are under the control of DeFuhrer. We still have something like 40% unemployment rate. Shocked? Yeah, because you've been told it's hovering somewhere around between 6 and 8%, right? In fact, the most recent data from the Obama Administration Economy Propaganda Service, called the Bureau of Labor Statistics, has it right at 5.7% right now. Pretty good, eh? But according to Fortune magazine, you know, who have some pretty savvy people on economics on their staff, Donald Trump is right. America's real unemployment rate is 40%, end quote. So when you have disparity like that in reporting on something as critical to the State of the Union as unemployment, well, you have to ask yourself, what is going on? Who's lying? Fortune has no axe to grind with Obama. They simply look at the numbers. The difference is this. They're not controlled by Obama, and they can actually go ahead and just tell the truth about the whole mess. Do you think Trump made it up? Fortune doesn't think so. And the data I've put together looking into this also supports what Trump has said. His next brag is, quote, how we reformed our health care system, end quote. Excuse me. I can almost see heads exploding all over America. Well, the truth is, very few bothered to tune in. In fact, I mentioned that about 32 million Americans can't read, and that's about how many listen to Obama's State of the Union. I'm not sure there's a correlation there. In fact, fewer people overall listen to Obama than they have listened to Bush or Clinton, and certainly fewer than those who tuned in to hear the Gipper. Maybe what will gall Obama bots the most is that the hated George Bush bested Obama in his last State of the Union address by about 6 million viewers. So what does that say? Among the things he brags about is, quote, how we reformed our healthcare system, end quote. Of course, he did not mean, I'm sure, to bring attention to how they reformed our healthcare system. That was simply one of those cases where Obama's tongue slipped on Freud. Think about it. Think about how they reformed healthcare. Remember that? You know, we've got to pass the law so we can learn what is in it, Pelosi. And the dirty tricks and obfuscation and broken promise, you know, like the promise that the American people would have the text of all legislation 72 hours before it was voted on. when in the case of Obamacare, not even those who were tasked by the voters to vote on it on their behalf could get a copy of the full text of that law more than in some cases 3 or 4 hours before they were supposed to vote on it. That whole thing was and continues to be the most outrageous abuse of power ever perpetrated by our government against the interests of the American people in our history. And then he goes on and on and on. When will November come? He brags about reinventing the energy sector, right? By giving over $500 million to a bud in the energy business that simply disappeared? Solyndra, anyone? Then he's got the gall to talk about his record in delivering care and benefits to our troops? Oh, mercy. Will the insults from this man ever stop? No wonder no one listens to him anymore. This stuff is nauseating. Hey, Dove, bring me some Pepto-Bismol. Huh? Well, I've been listening to Obama again. We're out? I'm not surprised. How about an Alka-Seltzer? Oh, and then here's the clincher for all of you God and gun clingers out there. In the list of his accomplishments that he boasts of, quote, and how we secured the freedom in every state to marry the person we love, end quote. Now, isn't that quaint? Yeah. And robbed Americans of their religious freedom in the meanwhile, curbed their right to free speech, and frankly pushed this nation right on up to the edge of the maw of hell, arbitrarily and arrogantly, presuming to change the meaning of a word, marriage, defined by the Creator, from whom we all have an equal share in those inalienable rights referenced in our Declaration, as the joining of one man and one woman so that the two become one, a union that can never occur with the joining of men with men or women with women, in a behavior, the rights endowing Creator described as unseemly and bringing upon them the due recompense of their error, you know, multiple diseases of body and mind and soul. And of course, he failed to mention among his other accomplishments the dissing of our friends in Israel, getting all cozy with our enemies, such as Iran, launching ISIS, and enhancing virtually every threat to our national security while simultaneously increasing our vulnerability to those threats. Yeah, and the rest of this blah, blah, blah is simply more of the same. So look, I guess that pretty well wraps up the achievements of the Obama era. Well, thankfully, I'm out of time for this segment. And I do want to take a look at those hopefuls who will, we trust, lead us out of this mess. And take a look at the GOP debate. So hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Heroes inspire us. They challenge what is noble in our spirit. But the ranks of heroes are diminishing. Many who are in a position to inspire our young people to selfless sacrifice for a noble cause are repulsive examples of selfishness. We need to replenish the ranks of heroes. But, my friend, heroes are made, not born. We are helping families make heroes one child at a time with our free character building programs called Heroes of the Faith Sunday School. Enroll your child in Lighthouse Baptist Church Heroes of the Faith Sunday School program, and before long, you'll notice the difference in your child's attitude and character. Call for more information, 888-770-8000. Mention you are interested in the Heroes of the Faith program. Leave a number where we can reach you. Call toll-free, 888-770-8000. There is no charge for the program. It's a service provided by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Enroll your child in Heroes of the Faith today.
Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional stable two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope in their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity. And yet, it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, let's turn our attention to the next president of the United States. I wonder what a State of the Union address will sound like from the likes of Cruz or Trump or Carson, or really any one of the folks who participated in the latest GOP debate. What's that? What would a State of the Union address sound like with Hillary or Bernie giving it? Well, read the transcript of Obama's last propaganda speech and you've got it. Yeah, that's right. Vote for Hillary or Bernie and you voted for at least 4 more years of Obamatics. Only if possible, even worse. So anyway, highlights of the GOP debates. But first, let me offer a few general observations. I think the questions were spot on. I mean, some of them were off the point of what's important with regard to the direction of our country, but even those were relevant to voters who are in need of clarification on issues that have come up, such as Cruz's eligibility and his failure to declare $1 million in loans and so on. We'll get into that in a moment. But let me say at the outset, I think Cruz answered both of these issues very well and used them to turn the stink back on those trying to put it on him. I realize that has not shown up in the polls immediately following the debate, but trust me, it'll sink in over the next week or so, and people will see through this latest effort to shoot down the Cruz missile. Yep, you've got it right. Cruz's performance in the latest debate solidified my conviction that he is the only man on that stage that truly deserves my vote. I know you probably watched the debate. I recommend you get the transcript and read through it also. Trust me, often you will catch things from the transcript you'll miss entirely when viewing it on TV or on your computer. The reverse is also true, by the way, which is why I do all I can to do both. But at the end of the day, I like to read the transcript so I can study their heart through their words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, according to Jesus, as recorded in Matthew 12:34. Words are windows into the heart, although it does require discernment to rightly interpret them. Someone who has sharpened their senses, and their sense, by the way, by much use of the scriptures, so they can discern both good and evil, Hebrews 5:14, oops. Forgot to announce a Bible thump alert. Did I thump you too hard there? Did it bruise your delicate little atheistic brain? Or ruffle the feathers of any of you Christianettes out there? Anyway, I thought the questions were good ones, and actually I felt the moderators did a fair job of keeping the conversation on point, although herding these guys is rather like herding cats. Cruz got the opportunity to deliver the opening salvo on Obama. Every shot at Obama is a shot at Hillary and Bernie, since they all sail on the same ship and under the same flag. Cruz mentioned the latest insult delivered to us from Iran since Obama got into bed with Khomeini. 10 sailors in a patrol boat wandered into Iranian waters near the Farsi Islands in the Persian Gulf. Iranian soldiers confronted them with weapons drawn, had our soldiers on their knees with hands on their heads, took them into custody, interrogated them for a day, and then decided their story checked out that they had inadvertently drifted into Iranian waters and released them. But first, they had to apologize. So, one whom we assume was the commander of this group offered an apology on behalf of the soldiers there and America, I presume. And this was all videoed, of course, and released to the world. So the world could see American sailors on their knees before their Muslim captors apologizing to the Muslim superiors. And folks, that's what this is all about. You might wonder why Obama said nothing about this in his State of the Disunion address. Well, the answer to that is, hey, he's the apologizer-in-chief to everyone except Americans. So this is the commander-in-chief of the military. So, you know, what do you expect? This sort of thing moves down the chain of command, huh? It's also possible, of course, this was a ruse, that these sailors were on a mission and perhaps accomplished what they set out to do. Who knows? Anyway, Cruz opens his debate performance with a shot at Obama for completely ignoring this matter. Some, of course, believe he handled it, that is, Obama handled it discreetly. After all, we got our sailors back and none of them was hurt, and that's a good thing. But hey, you know, according to Obama, Iran is our friend now. That's not how you treat friends. Imagine if France found one of our patrols in their waters. Well, I'm sure they would confront them, but they certainly would not arrest them, put them in hold, interrogate them, and so forth. They would have rendered the assistance needed and sent them on their way. Now, in case you think I don't appreciate the fact that this is certainly an improvement of behavior coming from Iran, we all remember the Iran hostage horror during the Carter administration. Courtesy of Iran, by the way, and gratitude, no doubt, for Carter's assistance in ridding Iran of the Shah. Keep that in mind. And recently, on two occasions, in 2004 and again in 2007, Iran accosted British naval vessels. In 2004, Iranian hospitality included blindfolding the British sailors and Marines and parading them on Iranian state TV, held them for 3 days before they were released. And then the 2007 incident was even worse. 15 British naval servicemen were captured, paraded before Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is like anyway, and their national TV screens and so on. And it took a while, but they finally extracted apologies from these seamen under duress and then release them after 2 weeks. These events are used by the Iranians to bolster their mano. Hawaiian for what gives a man prestige among warriors. I don't know what it is that the Iranians might call it. But this is very important to the leaders of these tyrannical countries because, you see, It gives them credibility in the eyes of the people they oppress. And especially with regard to the Muslim mindset, it's all about submission to Islam. So demonstrate your subservience to Islam or to a Muslim, and then they can show you that Allah is ever merciful. Yeah, and all that nonsense. And now here is why we need someone leading this country who understands this mindset. Every time this happens, it increases their confidence in the idea that they will ultimately rule the world. It strengthens their belief in that fantasy. It strengthens the grip of those wicked leaders on the throats of the people they oppress. It encourages them to become more bold in the pursuit of their ambition to destroy the great and little Satan. You understand that they've never retracted any of that kill the great Satan business, right? You know, Islamic law, like Watchtower Bible Tract followers, by the way, or JWs as they're called, are allowed to lie to unbelievers in order to further their cause. In fact, with Islam, it's expected. Anyone who thinks Iranian religious leadership is not plotting to get the bomb so they can take America hostage and humble America to Islam simply does not understand Islam. If you don't think they are determined to drive Israel off the map, you don't understand Islam at all. You don't understand Mohammedan Muslims. That is, those Muslims who follow the teachings of their Prophet Muhammad as understood by his historic example. But I'm short on time here, so I'll need to pick out a few of the moments I thought were particularly interesting, or that I feel like I need to address. I've got to say, Cruz, Trump, Carson too, for the most part, and Rubio, and even Bush and Kasich, all of them really. Every time Kasich starts, it has to be couched in some kind of political commercial. You notice that? It's like every time he opens his mouth, it starts off like a commercial. And that's where Trump, by the way, really stands out. He's good at getting his sound bites in, you know, without sounding like he's doing a commercial. He stammers and blusters sometimes. He doesn't complete sentences, speaks in phrases often. But he's good at coming across like it's all coming from his heart, not a script. I feel the same way about Cruz, more so now than he did at first, by the way. The difference is Cruz is truly eloquent. He's smart and almost always very clear in his speech, very articulate. But sometimes, and this would be true of anyone speaking on their feet and not studying a teleprompter, he'll have to rephrase and stuff like that. But it's clear that he's talking to us from his heart as well, you know, from what he truly believes. I think this is also true of Carson, very sincere man, and Bush, by the way. But honestly, Rubio, to me, he just comes off as scripted. Although he certainly delivered a few very good lines. Sorry to interrupt this GOP version of court TV. That was a great line. And he said a lot of other things that we can all agree with, of course. But for me, I think Cruz won the day. First, in articulating clearly a positive agenda for the American people and defending himself against the smear attacks thrown at him from the left and the right. Remember a while back I asked, will Trump go birther on Cruz? Well, he has done that. He tried to qualify it, but at the bottom line, he is attempting to use the birther question to derail Cruz. I'm not going to go back over the back and forth on all that, although I thought it was great. It was interesting that both of them have offered to name the other VP. But let's pick the cherries out of this pie, shall we? First, Cruz was right on when he brought out the fact that Trump was all okay with Cruz's birth status before he had a problem with it. Cruz pointed out that back in November, Trump declared that he had had his lawyers look into the question to satisfy him that there's nothing there. Cruz is eligible. Then Cruz, I think cleverly, but more importantly, aptly, pointed out that the Constitution had not changed since November, but the polls have. Cruz has gained on Trump steadily, and in Iowa, Cruz was leading Trump going into the debate. Later, after a significant amount of banter, some of it rather tongue-in-cheek, you know, as when Cruz brought out that Trump's mother was, I think Scottish, he said, or something like that. But anyway, not a citizen when Trump was born, and was later naturalized. But later, the moderator asked Trump, hey, why would you bring up this birther issue now? Why now? He insisted. And Trump frankly admitted, that's because Cruz has come up significantly in the polls. So there you have it. He admitted it. At least he's honest about this stuff. Then, of course, Cruz had to field a question brought on by the hit piece published on the cover of the New York Times recently, claiming Cruz failed to report $1 million in loans taken out for his senatorial candidacy, as is required by law, and pointing out some other technical anomalies that exist between his version of those events and his wife's memory of them. Good night. Becky and I have an ongoing lighthearted argument over an anecdote I sometimes relate from our early years, when we were as poor as dirt, and one evening it got so bad all she could put on the table for dinner was a potato. And the argument is over whether it was, as I remember it, one potato to share between the two of us, or she remembers it, two potatoes, one for her, one for me. And who has not related a story to friends only to have your wife correct you every 10 minutes or so? Adjusting your this or that detail of just exactly how it happened. So that's not going to go anywhere. But what this shows is just how desperate these people are to find something they can use to get Cruz out of the race. As one MSM writer put it, anyone but Cruz. Didn't I tell you? I sure did. Anyway, Cruz answered this question very well, and yet I listened to an ABC reporter characterize his answer dismissively as, you know, the usual blame the media. Now, either she did not listen to his entire response, or she did. Know what I mean? Anyway, Cruz points out that this little revelation about Cruz's nefarious violation of campaign finance disclosure law was put out there by the same character who earlier wrote a piece in which he characterized Cruz as one of those devils in the movie It Follows, possessing people, so on. Unreal. The hatred these people have for Cruz crosses over into the inane and borders on the insane. No, you watch. They really hate him. And that makes no sense, except that they perceive him to be a major threat to their agenda. I'm getting short on time, so I'll sound a bit disjointed here, perhaps. But listen, I got to tell you, you know what they want? Really, you know, Hillary and the MSM, they're rooting for Trump. I mean, they'd rather have Bush, right? He'd be an easier target for Hillary. But they're, if it comes between Trump and Cruz, by all means, their own darling Trump. Hillary does not want to tangle with Cruz. He's way too smart for her. And more importantly, I'll get to that in a moment. So Cruz brings this out and he says, you know, quote, the New York Times and I don't exactly have the warmest of relationships, end quote. Now, this is where they get the idea that Cruz merely dismissed the question without answering it and merely blamed the MSM. But that's not true. Cruz goes on to explain he was up against big money in that senatorial race in which he made those loans, and that his opponent threw in millions of his own money to attack Cruz viciously in the media. And so he and his wife decided to take a, quote, loan against our assets to invest in that campaign to defend ourselves against those attacks, end quote. Then he explained what happened. He said, quote, I disclosed that loan on one filing with the United States Senate that was a public filing, end quote. Now, you know what that tells you. He's not trying to hide anything. He wasn't pulling a Hillary. He wasn't hiding the fact that he made those loans. He disclosed it on a form that's public record. And then he said, quote, but it was not on a second filing with the FDIC. And yes, I made a paperwork error disclosing it on one piece of paper instead of on the other, end quote. Cruz concludes, if that's the best the New York Times has got, they better go back to the well. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I get the drift. You see, folks, the children of disobedience, a biblical reference to those who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and will not accept his rule or reign over them, are under the influence of the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And that spirit hates the spirit of Christ. And that is the reason those who are under the virtual control of the dark prince of hell intuitively, instinctively, irrationally, inanely, and insanely hate those who have the spirit of Christ in them. They just know it somehow, you know? People like the Cruz. They're all okay with us until we reach for political power. But the spirit that operates in them does not want Christianity anywhere near the levers of political power because they're screaming out, we'll not have that man to reign over us. Because every time a genuine Christian does get in, righteousness is exalted in the land and wickedness loses its grip. Oppression is broken off the people and they're set free from governmental bondage and control. The righteous are exalted and the wicked are brought low. The devil has had his way in this country for quite a while now. We need to rise up, band together, and throw off the oppressor. For the wicked, it's anybody but Cruz. Well, for me, it's nobody but Cruz. Anyway. I think you know what I mean. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. You don't need the one if you're using a cell phone. Now leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. If you want me to call you back, let me know, and I'll do that as soon as I can. If you prefer to write to me, go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's www.thebrainmassageshow.com. And you'll find a place there to write me an email. Write as long a message as you like. I respond to all my email messages, but sometimes I get a little behind in that, so be patient with me. If you're in a hurry when you call, you can just say lights on, then hang up. Or when you're right, you can just click on the lights on button and just say way to go or something, and then click on send. In any event, God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
America needs heroes. Lighthouse Baptist Church is offering a character development program for children called Heroes of the Faith Sunday School. There is no charge for this program. For information, call 888-770-8000.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon.